Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
I'd like you to kind of see, as soon as our box man over there, hey Joel, why don't you come over here for a second? I'd like you to notice, can you just turn around? Can you just see these pants right now? That is how cool he is. Oh my gosh. With those high tops. Yes, yes, yes. We love Joel. Don't we, my city? We love Joel. Oh man, you know, we're talking, this month is Thank God It's Sunday series. And it got me really excited when I was preparing it, and I just couldn't stop saying over and over again, thank God for Sunday. Thank God for Sunday. Imagine, I'm just imagining my life, what it would be like without Sunday, without the house of God, without gathering together in community and being able to serve and be stretched and expanded and seeing the gifts coming out of us. Pastor David and I, when we first came into the house of God, we had our own careers, and I was running from church. I was running from being a pastor, from ministry. And I find that a lot of things I've said in the past is I will never. One of mine was I will never do ministry and be a pastor. And what I just found is, man, when you connect yourself to this house, you can't help but say, I thank God for Sunday. Because me and my own career without Sunday, without the house of God, I enjoyed my job, I loved my job, but I felt like there was something missing. I felt like there was a hole in my life. I felt like I was missing out on community, on friends around me that actually encouraged me and challenged me and pushed me forward. And man, thank God for Sunday. Thank God for Sunday. I found I continually, even as a pastor, I continually have to fix my attitude and say, thank God for Sunday. It adds to my life. It never takes. Can we repeat that? Church adds to my life. It doesn't take from it. It's an attitude check. It's my life source. What other place can I go where faith, hope, and love is injected into my spirit? We live in a world where everything is taken and required from you. But in the house of God, you get injected faith. You get injected hope. You get injected love. So that when you go to work on Monday, or when you go to school on Monday, or when you're with your kids like me on Monday and you're exhausted and the thought of another poopy diaper or laundry or messy floors and stuff, you're just like, you know what? I got injected on Sunday. I've got enough to pour out the rest of the week. We tell our girls every single week, we say we get to go to church, not we have to. You know, sometimes we don't even realize when we say, oh, I have to go to church, when we tell our friends and they're inviting us over to their house, no, I have to go to church. What we don't realize is there's an attitude that starts brewing inside of us. If we fix that one word and we say we get to go to church, you want to come with me? You'd have the time of your life because I get to go to church. You get to go to kids' church. It's not you have to go to kids' church so that mom and dad can be here. No, you get to go to kids' church, sweetie. You get to learn about God, and you get to learn how to pray and operate in the Holy Spirit with your friends and have fun. You get to go to kids' church. But, you know, my attitude towards, you know, I'm a stay-at-home mom. And I have the honor and privilege of being able to stay with my kiddos. But man, sometimes the messy house, like constantly cleaning, cooking, grocery shopping, like I said, the three poopy diapers and just the constant pouring out gets exhausting. But you know, the only reason why it gets exhausting is because of my attitude. Wow. See, my attitude, I have to clean. I have to cook. I have to get groceries. Why can't my husband do it? Why can't my kids go do it? I have to. But a lot of times I have to do a little attitude check. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I get to. Like, I get to set up an atmosphere where my family can flourish. I get to make sure that when my husband comes home, I'm not a complete mess. Maybe my hair is messy and maybe I've got stuff all over my shirt, but I'm gonna make sure I do an attitude check. I'm gonna make sure that I don't create chaos for my family, but I create a peace and a beautiful environment for them to flourish. But that's how it is in this house. There's cleaning to do in this house. There's laundry to do in this house. There's some cooking to do in this house. There's a lot of work to do in this house. And if we get stuck in serving or get stuck in not wanting to be involved because it's too messy, we miss out. We miss out. And if we just tweak that one word, I get to, not I have to, I get to, then you'll never allow offense to brew in your life. You'll never allow exhaustion to take you over because you get to. It's an honor, it's a privilege. Anytime offense tries to overtake me, I just go, imagine my life without church. I'll take any offense. I'll take any mess. I get to go to church. It says in 1 Peter 5:8, it says, but resist him, the devil, be firm in your faith against his attack, rooted, established, and movable. What that's saying is, be firm in your rootedness. Be firm and be established. It says in your faith, which is like immovable, right? So what that's saying is, be firm in being planted in the house of God. What that's saying is, don't allow the enemy to come in and to steal that attitude, to steal that passion, to steal that love for the house of God. Be vigilant. Watch out. Be alert. Because he's going to try to come in and he's going to try to get something in our lives that's going to cause us to want to have to go to church rather than get to go to church. I find, and I say this with all the love, so if you end up realizing maybe I'm talking to about one of you, it's out of love, not out of condemnation. But this is what I found. There's mainly two type of Christians. One Christian doesn't go to church, but has incredible quiet times with God. And when you talk to them, they say, I don't need it. I can have church in my home every day. And then there's a second Christian that only goes to church, but never has quiet times. We need both. We need both church and quiet times. Because this is the truth. See, if it's no church and only personal time with God, there's no flow in your world. What that means is, in the house of God, you end up getting a flow with your leaders. You end up having someone like a mentor, or a disciple, or a connect leader who gets to pour into your world so that then in return you get to pour in others' worlds. But what I find is a lot of no church Christians and only personal time with God Christians, what I find is that they would gladly speak into other people's world, but no one can speak into theirs. And then I find that the only church people and the no personal relationship with God people, that they're so codependent on people that they eventually get offended or something happens in the church and they leave. Because their faith is in people, not in God. So it's not just only church, and it's not just only personal times with God. It's both. It's both. And it's not attending church. It's being planted in the house of God. It's both. There's a guy named Josh Veer in our church. He goes to Central Campus. And a lot of people don't know this, but I used to be a personal trainer. And I worked at 24-Hour Fitness for like 3 months. And I was a little messed up environment, so I moved on and just started my own business. But 3 months in 24-Hour Fitness, and those 3 months were for Josh Veer. I met Josh, and he had a friend named Ben, and Ben invited me and a bunch of our coworkers to his house, and I heard it was a coworker party, so I thought, okay, it's a little safe. I'm going to go, but just in case, I'm going to bring a friend of mine that goes to church with me and that I know is solid. So I bring my friend Elle with me, and we go to this party, and I think I saw maybe two coworkers, and it was the craziest party I've ever been to. And I end up walking in, and I'm like, okay, I just need to turn around and leave. Like, this is, now I understand why people live with regret. Because the things that are done out of, you know, being drunk and stuff or high, I'm like, oh my goodness. How do you wake up happy? I wouldn't. And so I'm at this party and I saw some not so cool stuff happening. And I ended up stepping in and telling a couple of these guys, that's not how you treat a woman. And you know, they gave me the cold shoulder, and unfortunately she didn't listen to me and didn't want to hear me out when I said come home with me. But Josh saw that from the background, and he ended up talking to me and Elle in that party, and he said, hey, I heard you're a Christian. What church do you go to? See, he knew I was a Christian a month before that, but it was at that party when there was something different on Elle and I, where we didn't give in to the peer pressures of the crowd. And I wasn't a spectator to injustice. I spoke in injustice. And so he came to church, and that night he gave his life to God. But this is the thing. With Josh, he attended our church for 4 years. And he said that he would sit in the back. He'd come just like, you know, within like the first two songs of worship, because he didn't really want that awkwardness of having to talk to anybody. And then he left right when altar call happened, when we say, hey, stay in your seats, don't go anywhere. This is the most important reason why we do church is for the end of altar call. He ends up like jetting out and going. And he said he did it for 4 years. And he said every Sunday he went to church, but then he had the other foot in the world. He was the no church, or he was the all church but no relationship with God Christian. And he said it took him 4 years to finally say yes to serving. And that was the start of his whole new life. And he said, Brianna, I was always so thankful that you invited me to church, and I was so thankful I had the ticket to heaven. But I only live my Christian life to the very minimal level. And he's like, until I started serving, started going to a connect group, and still I started following our pathways, which is connect, grow, serve, and lead. He's like, I never had the opportunity to lead. In fact, I didn't even want to lead. And God called all of us to be leaders. None of us are meant to be standby watchers in the world. We're meant to be leading the world, making disciples. And so he said now that he started planning himself, going to connect groups, serving, like no matter what's going on in my world, I'm in the house of God and I am with my brothers and sisters serving. This is what he's doing now. He was a captain at Emerge. Now that's 1,000 guys, 30 teams, and he was a captain. He's the connect leader. He's the head of the parking at All First Services at Central Campus. He ended up finding and marrying a beautiful godly woman from C3 Church. And he said his business is thriving like never before. He said, for 4 years I attended church, but until the word that changed everything in his life was planted. Until he planted, and that's why that's the name of the what I'm calling my message is the word that changes everything. Because the truth is, you can attend church for your entire life, but until you get yourself planted, until you fall in love with the house of God, until you live a lifestyle of thank God it's Sunday, you're not reaching the potential, and you're not feeling the potential, and you're not walking out in the call of God that's on your life. Josh Veer is my hero. Love that guy. So being planted is dirty, right? Planting, so let's say when we're a seed has to be planted deep in the dirt. Not only is it planted deep in the dirt and then, you know, water, so it's like gross and muddy too, and then like you're putting manure and stuff on it, you know? That's what you're doing in church. You're like digging deep in some dirt and mud with people. you got some stinky attitudes coming your way, some people that are bossing you around and talking to you like you don't deserve to be talked to. That's some manure. You've got some manure and some dirtiness and some messiness, but I'm telling you, it's so worth it. It's so worth it. Don't live a mediocre Christian life. I would so choose manure over a clean seed that never grows. It says in Proverbs 14:4, it says, without oxen, a stable stays clean, but you need a strong ox for a large harvest. You know, the Bible says that the harvest is plenty, but the workers are few. You know what that's saying? Too few people refuse to get dirty. Too few people want to have manure on them. If more people are okay with a little bit of dirt and a little bit okay with a little bit of mess, we could be getting a massive harvest. What we have become accustomed to, the world is searching and craving for. Here we are, and we're so used to church. We're so used to Sunday. We're so used to the house of God and our friends and people around us, but the world is searching for it. The world is going to parties, trying to find love, when all they have to do is be right here. And they don't have to live a life of regrets. The answer is here, but we've become so accustomed to it. We've lost the flavor. We lost the salt. We lost the passion for the house of God. And so I want to read a scripture that has a couple things of what being planted in the house of God does for our lives. And it doesn't just do for our lives, but it actually does for people that don't even know it yet, that are first coming in. And maybe you're in here and this is your very first time at C3 Church. Welcome. Welcome, Jim and Issa's friends from Vista. Welcome. Welcome home. But this is a verse that I just fell in love with on what it does in your world when you get planted. It's in Psalms 92, 10 to 15. Psalms 92, 10 to 15. And this is what it says. But you have lifted up my horn like that of a wild bull. New oil has been poured upon me. My eyes have seen those who wait to hurt me. My ears hear the bad men who rise up against me. The man who is right and good will grow like the palm tree. He will grow like a tree in Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will grow well in the home of our God. They will still give fruit when they are old. Give me a shout. Yep. And they will be full of life and strength. And they will show that the Lord is faithful. He is my rock. And there is nothing in him that is not right and good. See, the number one thing when you're planting the house of God is that you get your true identity and purpose revealed. This is what it says. But you have lifted up my horn like that of a wild bull. What's a wild bull? I don't know. I looked it up on Google to make sure that I wasn't like just, you know, thinking of something, you know, girly. But they didn't really have like a really good description of wild bull. But when I started thinking about it, I'm like, man, a wild bull is powerful. It's strong. It's courageous. It's bold. It's free. It's fierce. What God is saying is some people, like me, came into the house of God with their head down, and God's saying, no, perk up, sweetheart. I've given you a new identity. I've given you a calling. There's a specific gift and call on your life that you haven't even tapped into. Lift up your head. Lift up your head. Because God hasn't called us to walk like this. God's called us to charge. God's called us to be fierce. God's called us to be fearless. God's called us to have some life, some jump, some spark, some joy. That's what the house of God does for us. It also says that new oil has been poured on me. In this house, at C3 Church, we believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. What that is that's new oil. When the power of the Holy Spirit comes on you, it can feel like hot oil that you cannot even stand. Your knees start shaking. Some people fall over. Some people shake. I did everything. I don't even know. There's times where I'm like, please stop, please stop. I'm creating a show. And I'm like, God's like, who cares, Brianna? It's not about anyone else. It's about you. Because I'm having a new oil upon your life. A new anointing is on your life. Church without the Holy Spirit is just half church. We need the new oil, the fresh oil. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's masterpiece, created to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. It'd be so silly for my girls to be going out to their friends and to the neighbors and to wherever and ask, hey, who am I? Like, what's my name? Who are my parents? What am I meant to do? What am I good at? What do I love to do? No. The place that my girls need to do that at is in my house with mom and dad. See, we're finding our identity and purpose in so many other places. The world is going to different places trying to find their purpose and identity, but their purpose and identity is right here in the house of God, from the God who created them, for the God who created us. And in this house, we will flourish. In this house, we will dream dreams like we've never dreamt before. We have our intern, Paige, and Paige is so beautiful. And when she came, you know, after coming to church, after a month, she's like, I'm just doing the internship because I don't want my feelings and my emotions to get away from my passion for God. And I want to grow. I want to be challenged. I want to be stretched. So she's like, I'm doing the internship. Sign me up before I regret it. But the thing about Paige is that she actually grew up in a Christian home. She went to church, she said, pretty much every single Sunday. Yet she was depressed. She was suicidal. She said most of the time, she wouldn't wake up until 3 p.m. in the afternoon. And then the rest of the day until late at night, she would just watch TV. She said sometimes she would go 3 days without seeing daylight. She was so suicidal that she'd get checked into hospitals, that her boyfriend would have to call the ambulance, help. And she said, I had no purpose in my life. I didn't know what I wanted to do. I felt like there was no reason why I was here on earth. So why not just go? And then she said, when she came to the house of God and got planted, it wasn't an event to her anymore. It wasn't a routine to her anymore. It wasn't a culture for her anymore. She decided to invest herself deep in the house of God and do the internship after 1 month. Who does that? And she said, I have never had to deal with depression, suicidal thoughts. I wake up early in the morning and I'm joyful. I am full of life. She has a passion to be a cosmetologist. Is that how you say it, Bianca? I don't even know. She's already thinking about starting her own business with Bianca, which needs to happen, by the way. That's what the house of God does because of one word that changed everything. Planted. Planted. The second one in Psalms 92, it says, my eyes have seen those who wait to hurt me. My ears hear the bad man who rise up against me. You know what that means? That the house of God will teach you who your true friends are and who your enemies are. What I love about our pastor, Pastor Leanne, is that with Cherish, she started our women's ministry called Cherish because she said, no longer are women going to be competitive and jealous and envious of one another. We're going to learn how to cheer each other on even if our own life is not that awesome. That we're going to learn how to be real friends with other women and not be competitive with other women. No more gossiping. No more causing division. No more talking to people about some little offense that you just need to get over. No. Let's learn how to be bigger than that and be a true friend. But honestly, I went to church my whole life and I was never taught that. I never had a pastor and a leader that was so bold to just say, hey, cheer that person on, even though if you're not living the life that you want to right now. Planted in the house of God will teach you who your friends and who your enemies are. My beautiful friend Dimity, is Dim here? Yeah, she's out front probably working out my husband's air flight right now, ticket. He's going to Australia tonight. Gonna miss you, babe, with all my kids. And he says, freedom, all the way to LAX. But beautiful Dimity is from Australia, and she came over here to escape friends because she didn't know really what a good friend one was and what a bad friend was. So she ended up escaping them because pretty much all her friends turned on her. And the people that she grew up calling her best friend were people that would cause her to live with regrets, that would peer pressure her into doing things that she did not want to do. And then she comes to this house and it's like she has no clue how to handle this environment. She's like, people are actually nice to me. Are they nice to me because they like me, or they want something from me, or what do I do? So it's always easier to be friends with guys because guys are simple. If, you know, you're beautiful, they like you, you know? Like, but other girls, if they see a beautiful girl, it's, you know, all right. It's game time. It's competition. Let me scope you out. Okay, I've got a better outfit than you. I'm doing good. We laugh about it, but it's real life. So she comes to the house of God, and being able to hear what a real friend is. Oh, that's a real friend. Okay. Yep. And you look at her life now, and she's got friends all around her. And an old friend actually came to visit her from Australia. And she's like, Brianna, I've never felt this disconnected before. And while she's here, she's trying to get me to wear clothes I don't want to wear. She's trying to get me to drink things I don't want to drink. She's trying to get me to get in trouble. And she's like, I felt like it was warfare. I didn't feel like there was this like friendship anymore. I felt like I was in warfare with the person that I called my best friend for 10 years. See, the house of God will teach you who your real friends are and who your enemies are. You will have ears to hear, and you will have, eyes to see. Who's that godly person? John Day, of course. It's always John Day. Holy days. But see, it all changed for everything changed with one word for Dimity, and that was planted. She grew up in a Christian home. She attended church her whole life, but she was never planted. Thank God it's Sunday. Some of your ceilings, and I'm talking to some of you in here, some of your ceilings is you're hanging out with the wrong friends. Come on, college guys. Some of your ceilings right now is you're hanging out with the wrong crew. You hang out with this crew. You hang out with the right crew. You plant yourself deep. You say, you know what? Sign me up for anything. I don't care what it is. I will clean the bathrooms. I will do the parking team, right, Gabe? I will do whatever it takes. I'm going to plant myself deep. And you're going to start seeing who your true friends are that challenge you, that inspire you, that get you to go places you never thought you could go. That's a true friend. The third one is this. I got 6 minutes, man. All right. The third point is this. The man who is right and good will grow like the palm tree. He will grow like a tall tree in Lebanon. You know what that means? Palm trees back in the day, the Hebrew days, it actually meant beautiful. When they would look at palm trees and when they would describe things, they'd actually say palm trees because they thought palm trees were so beautiful. You know what the trees of Lebanon are? Cedar trees, which signify great strength, influence, power. When you're planted in the house of God, you'll be transformed to be beautiful and influential. See, I have even walked into this church looking around going, wow, everyone is beautiful. I guess to be a part of C3 Church, you have to be beautiful. I guess to be a part of C3 Church, you have to dress relevant and you have to look a certain way. And when you walk in, you kind of feel like the odd one out, because that's what I did. I felt that way. But the truth is, when I planted myself in the house of God, and I was getting teachings that I've never heard before, and I was being challenged in my character like I've never been challenged before, there's nothing else but beauty that could come out of me. See, I have seen broken, beaten, burdened people walking in who had no energy to exude beauty. But as soon as they got planted in the house of God, they didn't have to try. They didn't have to think of, oh, I got to look hot on Sunday because everyone's going to look hot at C3. No, no, no. They would just rock up, and I'm like, you are so beautiful. Because the truth is, each one of us are God's creation. And everything that God creates is good. Everything God creates is beautiful. Even our men. They go from stinky to, I don't know, probably still stinky, but probably a little bit more beautiful. According to my husband, hot, he says. The Holy Spirit is the helper of beauty. Getting surgery by the Holy Spirit and just being prayed over and anointed the new oil, like my first point, it's like this beauty starts coming out. The stress and the anxiety and the depression and the fear that once gripped me, once I was prayed over by the Holy Spirit and once I'm in this presence day and night, not just at church on a Sunday, but in my personal world as well, there's nothing other than beauty that can come out. The other one is the cedar trees of influence. That's why we've got Pathfinders in our church. Because at Pathfinders, we are teaching our businessmen and businesswomen how to be influencers in the house of God. That we learn how to work with excellence. We learn integrity. We learn how to be the best employees, and we learn how to be the best bosses. Because we weren't called to just be a little speck on the earth. We were called to be the salt of the earth. We were called to be influencers. We were meant to be the culture setters, not the culture followers. We're cedar trees. I love it how all the youth have to whisper that over and over again. Cedar trees, cedar trees, cedar trees. So funny, she said cedar trees. Isaiah 61:3 says, to those who have sorrow in Zion. You know what represents Zion in the New Testament is the church. Okay, so to those who have sorrow in Zion, I will give them a crown of beauty instead of ashes. I will give them the oil of joy instead of sorrow, and a spirit of praise instead of a spirit of no hope. Then they will be called oaks that are right with God, planted by the Lord, that he may be honored. See, they've done a plant experiment, these scientists. They decided, I'm going to look at a plant, and all day long I'm going to curse it, and I'm going to do this, you know, hardcore, yucky music all day long, all day night on them. And then I'm going to go to another house, and I'm going to have plants that I'm going to speak, oh, you're so beautiful, and pet them. That's what I do, by the way. It's so true. I used to cry when I would see trees being chopped down. I was so lame. But they would, you know, oh, you're so beautiful, and they'd water them, and they would put beautiful, encouraging, hope-filled music for them. You know what the truth is? The like, cursed plants would, like, wilt and die and look disgusting, and the plants that were given life, hope, faith, hope, love, like the house of God, flourished, became beautiful. See, in this house, you're not going to be condemned, and you're not going to be... The house of God isn't to show all your weaknesses and to tell you what a screw-up you are. The house of God has been created to bring a faith, hope, and love in your world so you can be the best of the best, so you can be everything that God's created you to be, because the real you is perfect. And you need the house of God to help you get perfect. Pastor Jürgen Leanne say it all the time, I think is the funniest thing. But they're like, all the serial killers, you talk to their neighbors, and they're like, he was a quiet man, kept to himself usually. Now I'm not calling, probably a bad example now, but I'm not calling like, you know, if you don't go to church, you're a serial killer. But what I'm saying is, when you're around community, you're gonna do things that people are gonna go, that was weird, don't do that again. When you're in connect group in a smaller setting, see, it's easy to get lost in the crowd here. You can still sneak out during altar call, no go. Stay for altar call and cheer whoever is going to give their life to God, because the best celebration in heaven, we should be celebrating in hell, not in hell, in earth. We need each other. Don't isolate yourself. You need connect leader, you need connect leaders. You need people speaking into your world. Sometimes we hear God speak and then we try to form it in how we want to hear him speak, you know? And then you're like, oh, I heard from God. And he's asked me to live in the desert in a hut around nobody, and I'm going to suffer for Christ. No. The Great Commission is to go out into all the world and make disciples. Go to that little hut in the desert for maybe a month or a year, fast, pray, get empowered, but come back. God doesn't want you isolated. God wants you here. He's got purpose for you, influencing purposes in your life. My last point. Let me find my scripture. It says, planted in the house of the Lord, they will grow well in the home of our God. They will still give fruit when they are old. They will be full of life and strength, and they will show that the Lord is faithful. He is my rock, and there is nothing in him that is not right and good. The fourth point is he makes us strong, firm, and steadfast. See, God isn't a God that will use you and then leave you. He's not a God that's going to use you up in all of your youthful passions, teenagers, college students. He's not going to just utilize your high energy. And then as soon as the energy goes down, and as soon as, you know, you start getting run down, you feel like, all right, I'm getting on the little older side. He's not going to be like, yeah, okay, now I'm going to move on to the next young person. No. What God is saying is you will bear fruit even in your old age. And that people will look at your life and go, man, the storms never stopped. The hardship never stopped. But why are they still so firm? What is it in their world that makes them a rock? When we are planted in the house of God, we learn how to stick it through even in the dirtiest situations. Because the truth is, life is always going to have storms. Being a Christian doesn't say, okay, life is going to be awesome and easy for the rest of your life. It's pretty much the opposite. It says in 1 Peter 5:10, it says, and the God of all grace, who called you to eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. We've got Mazen. Mazen, are you here? Probably one of my favorite people, other than my husband and my kids and my, you know, my family. But Mazen came from a place where he worked with, or he does still work with Marissa at Islands. I should get paid for this like promo right now. Islands in Carlsbad, if you want to go there. Mazen and Marissa are there. I get discounts now. No, I'm joking. But Mazen was a coworker there, and for her birthday at our house, she invited Mazen and a couple coworkers. One of my favorite traits about Marissa Smith is that she's not someone that's just a leader in the house of God, but she's a leader out in the world. And so she brings people that don't know God, that maybe get a little drunk at her party, but they're around the right people who are setting an influence, an example. And he saw something different on us, and we said, you should come to church. You should check us out. And he's like, oh yeah, I go to church. Yeah, which one? I don't even remember which one. Sorry, Mazen. And I'm like, well, just come. You know us all now, just come. And so he comes and he's like, oh my gosh, there's something different. I can't wait to get involved. He gets involved right away with our youth team. See, but this is the truth about Mazen, is that Mazen might have had a little reputation at Islands as the partier, maybe. But as soon as he got planted in the house of God, all the coworkers that have never been in church, even his manager, was like, Marissa, I don't know what your church is doing or what's going on, but there's something so steadfast. There's something so firm. There's something so unwavering about Mazen that we don't get it. And when these cute girls come to him and try to tempt him and get him to come to their party, he's like, no, but you can come to church with me. And when they see that he's going through a difficult time, they see that it doesn't take him out anymore. They see that depression isn't on him. They see that it doesn't affect him anymore. But there's a steadfastness about him because he got planted in the house of God. Because of one word that changed everything. Planted. Planted. Can we get a culture and an attitude inside of us where every day we say, thank God for Sunday? Thank God that there's a place like Sunday that doesn't just feed my life, but where I can bring people on Good Friday and on Easter Sunday, and I know that when they get planted, their life will never be the same, that they're going to have a purpose and identity in store for them, revealed to them, that they're going to know who their true friends are and have good friends in their world. That I know that when they get planted at C3 Church, that they're going to become even more beautiful, that they're going to be leaders and influencers in this earth, and that the storms and the hardship in life is not going to take them out any longer, that the lies and the deceits of the enemy that has been pouring in their world is no longer going to control them because of one word, planted, because of this house. In fact, stand up right now. I feel the presence of God. Lift up your hands. Thank you, Jesus. There is nothing that attracts the Holy Spirit more than the spirit of honor. And God, we honor you this Sunday and every day from this day forward. Lord, we honor you and we say thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross so that we could have church. So we can be in a place like this where we can be united, where we have a place to be planted deep. Lord God, that when we are planted, we can dream dreams that we've never thought we could dream before, that we get purpose instilled in us like we've never gotten before. Can you just honor God tonight and thank him for Sunday? Thank him for the house of God. Thank him for our pastors, Pastor Jürgen and Leanne, who made the boldest, most courageous move like a wild bull, saying yes to come here to America, to San Diego, all the way from Australia, not knowing anyone, and saying, yep, I'm gonna come and I'm gonna start a house that's gonna create an atmosphere where people honor God. And when they say, thank God for Sunday, I lived a life of dreading Sundays, thinking it was so boring, so lifeless, until I came into this house and I can't get enough. God, we honor you tonight. And if you're in here and maybe you've never given your life to God, or maybe you've been coming to church like Josh Veer for 4 years, but you've never planted yourself. You've been an attendee. You're coming in the middle of worship and you're leading during altar call, which is right now. And you don't feel this way. You don't experience church this way. Like Psalms 92. And you're in here and you're like, I'm done playing church. I want to be the church. I want to bring people next week and I want to see their lives drastically changed after mine is tonight. That I decide from this day forward that I don't mind manure. I don't mind some mud. I don't mind some mess, because I would rather have the dirtiest mess than no mess at all. If that's you, would you raise your hand nice and high? You've never given your life to Christ, or you're saying, I'm done playing church. I want to be planted in church. If that's that's you, raise your hand nice and high because I'd really love to pray with you. And we have a team here waiting to pray for you. Sir, I see that hand. So good. Come on, I know there's more. Anyone else in here? Anyone else in here? Yeah, I see you there in the back, young man. Best decision of your life. Way to start now and not in your older years full of regret. Anyone else? Church will only add to your life. You don't have to be afraid of church. You don't have to be afraid of leadership. You don't have to be afraid of the messiness of people. Surrender your life to God and see what He will do. Because it says that God is the only promoter, not man. Lay your life down. There's nothing greater than laying your life down. Anyone else? Yeah, I see your hand, sweetie. All right, so what we do every single service, so you are not the odd one out, I promise you. I made this decision. My husband made this decision. Pretty much almost everyone in this room has made this decision. But what we like to do is, because you've made the most important decision of your life, we don't want to just say, okay, that was a great hand raise. Okay, see you later. No, no, no. We want to help you now walk this new thing called being planted in the house of God and being a disciple of Christ. And so what we do is we cheer you on. And we ask that you walk down here and you meet me up here and that you will actually say a prayer with me. I'd like to walk you through a prayer. And then we've got a team of people who would like to walk you out and pray with you and encourage you and help you on this new walk of Christianity. So church, will you clap and applaud and shout out for everyone that has raised their hands tonight? The best decision of your life. Struggle, every addiction, every hardship and pain, spirit of torment, deceit. You know what I see is in your life, you've been tormented by some words that have brought you in a place of chaos. And what I see in your world is God is bringing peace. It says it took one word for God with the storm, and He said, be still, calm, peace, and it was done. You don't have to go through a lifetime of walking out freedom of addiction. You don't have to have a lifetime of walking out freedom of the past. God does it right here, right now. In the name of Jesus, we prophesy freedom over his life, that he's no longer going to struggle, that he's no longer going to live in hardship. He's no longer going to live with guilt and shame. But I thank you, Lord, that he is attaching himself to this house, that he's going to go to a connect group, that he's going to start serving, that he's going to be planting himself deep. And he's going to see a transformation that he has craved his entire life. It's here and now in Jesus' name. Avery's. Love the Avery. Best family. Come on. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Plant yourself. Spent. That's the thing, is that you're constantly having things taken from you, and you'd be planted in the house of God. That's your life. It's your nourishment. It's going to encourage you in times that you need encouragement. It's going to strengthen you in times that you need strength. It's going to bring wisdom into your world when you need wisdom. And And we will teach you how to have even those personal times with God that is going to bring deliverance, it's going to bring freedom. But it's the house of God, guys. Right here, right now, you make a decision. I am planted. I'm going to dig deep. It's going to get messy. It's going to get dirty. It's going to get a little stinky, but it's worth it. It's worth it. Repeat this prayer after me, okay? Will you repeat this prayer? Say, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that you died on the cross so I can be set free. I no longer have to live with shame. I don't have to live with shame. I don't have to live with regrets. I don't have to live down deep in the mud and allow that mud to affect who I am and who I'm meant to become. And in Jesus' name, I choose forgiveness and I choose life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.